Hello, everybody. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire podcast. Matt and Jeremy here to bring you another episode for some more Bills talk. Hope everyone's doing well. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm good. A little bit of a lull here before we get to training camp, but doing well. We're kind of in the thick of the summer now, and looking forward to seeing how this roster shakes out here before preseason starts. And but for me personally, Matt, I am doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm doing good. Things are going good. I just been excited. It's been a good off season as far as the Bills have gone. I believe I've seen they were on summer break this past week. There's a couple posts about mentioning Ed Oliver saying how much he missed Buffalo. Yep. But I mean, what are your thoughts? What have your thoughts been on the off season so far, at least for Buffalo?
Well, I think for me, I guess so far, like with mini camps and the mandatory mini camps, I think a lot of the stories were injuries, right? You know, you had Cole Beasley and Mitch Morse. I think a lot of fans probably wanted to see those guys out on the field a little bit, even though it was, not with the pads on and not real intense in terms of, it's not real training camp yet or games for sure. So it's just kind of, but seeing those guys in Bills colors, I think fans would have liked to see that a little bit more. So injuries were a big story throughout May here and in early June. But I think, they started to come back. I think a lot of them will be healthy. As far as kind of roster, shakeups, nothing, as of note or to note that would be, something that we want to monitor going into the season. But I think it's been good. I think the big thing for me is it seems like this team's really close knit. I think now year three into Sean McDermott, you can definitely tell even the guys like Cole Beasley or guys coming in that weren't a part of the team even last year feel like this is a very tight knit group, and not sure if that translates to wins. We'll see. But I think the culture has definitely been a big buzzword since Sean McDermott came to the Bills. And I think now in this third year of their rebuild and revamp, I think you're starting to see the players really appreciate what's been created over there at One Bills Drive. So for me, that's number one. And that stands out because you do see all kind of the social posts from the players and, seeing them work out, and just it seems like they like to be around each other. I also think Josh Allen being more of a leader, I think, he was kind of a natural born leader to begin with, but a lot of his even veteran counterparts are saying, guys just gravitate toward him. So I think for Bills fans, that's something to be optimistic about, because there's not a whole lot of X's and O's to be gleaned from right now, but at least you can kind of see the chemistry develop with the guys, and that's always good.
You can. I mean, that's always a huge factor, and you are definitely right. There's just a different vibe about this season, and just the way the players were a couple weeks ago, didn't they were playing in like bounce houses or something. They had like a team bounce house day. They took a day off from practice, and
their final day, they decided to scrap practice and bring the bounce house into the field house and, have fun. But you also see it too, like they're taking on their own initiative to hang out. A lot of the guys go out to dinner together and stuff like that. Yes. So not only is it just team organized, I think it's player organized activities that are good to see. And, as a much of a team sport as football is, with all 11 guys needing to be on the same page, I think there's something to be said for that. I'm not going to get too deep into guys liking each other. You hope guys like each other on the team, but it does seem like a different vibe. So I like that word that you chose. It's definitely seems like a group you want to be around too. It's kind of like any other job, right? Like you want to go to a place where you feel welcome and place you want to hang around with other people and not dread walking in the door. So they're definitely far away from that and quite the opposite, I feel like. So, a testament to McDermott and, Brandon Bean for kind of instilling that culture and, hopefully translates to on the field production and success.
Hopefully. I mean, previous regimes, once, when, like the Rex Ryan era and the, I can't think of his name, Jags head coach.
Doug Marone.
You know what I mean? When those guys were around, it was just a weird uneasiness about the team from a fan perspective, from an analyst perspective, just a weird uneasiness about the team. So, it is good to see that everything you know, team organized and individually, guys are going out and spending time with each other, getting that chemistry going. It's super important. So I'm very glad about that moving forward. But I did want to talk to you today because, I mean, obviously we all know we're in the AFC East. Everybody who knows football knows we're in the AFC East, and you know those divisional games are oh so important. And AFC East has been I think overall has had a relatively strange off season. You know, just like from top to bottom, from the Patriots, you know, Dolphins and Jets. And, you know, it's just been really weird. Teams in just, I guess, awkward rebuilds, Patriots losing a ton of people, personnel. It's been rather strange.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the Bills have always had an uphill battle with the Patriots in the division. And, you know, with Rob Gronkowski leaving, a new coach in Miami, new coach in New York, obviously. I think it's one of the more interesting divisions. I don't know how competitive it will be. It might turn out to be a very competitive division, especially if, you know, the Jets and Bills, I think, are likely to vie for a wild card spot. At least that's what a lot of experts and prognosticators are leaning toward this year. I don't think people are thinking Miami could challenge, but you never know. You know, with their changeover in head coach and their philosophy, they can be in close games and sneak up on people. So it'll be interesting to see how the division shakes out. Of course, with the Patriots winning the Super Bowl last year, are they as motivated? It seems like that doesn't really pertain to them. They're always, you know, on top and seem motivated to repeat and repeat again. So, I think there's a lot of cool storylines in the AFC East besides the Bills. And I think it's going to impact the season for sure, how those other teams perform and, but specifically how the Bills match up with those teams. And so I think now while we're kind of waiting for training camp, this is a good topic to kind of go through each of these teams and see, you know, who would challenge Buffalo most or who would present some interesting matchups or just get the lay of the land of the entire division.
Absolutely. Let's start off overall with the defending Super Bowl champs, New England Patriots. And, you know, the Rob Gronkowski, you know, retiring, whether it's temporarily or it's an actual retirement, it changes things. It changes a lot of things because for his entire duration with the Patriots, he was that quintessential target. Third and 10. You need 10 yards, just throw it to Gronk. He's going to get it to you. He's going to get you that first down. And so many other, you know, opportunities, you know, to use him, whether it be pass block, run block, anything like that. So, I mean, that has to throw a wrench in Patriots plans because, I mean, very tight end dependent. They have a hodgepodge of tight ends right now, kind of like Buffalo does. Mm-hmm. And I know they had, was it Ben Watson they were looking at, and they got a couple other guys, but I know Watson has to, he has some type of suspension. He's a couple weeks.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of threatening weapons after, you know, Edelman and you know, Josh Gordon and whatever, but they did draft N'Keal Harry. So, you know, he'll be a great addition to that wide receiver room. But it will be interesting to see the kind of the tight end by committee. You know, they have a lot of guys that it's hard to imagine you would know them before. You know, guys like Matt LaCrosse and Steven Anderson. So they have, like, players, you know, guys that fit the profile. And, you know, and then in terms of the wide receiver position, maybe a second-year guy like Braxton Berrios from Miami could have a, you know, could step up, kind of more of a slot guy like Edelman.
Right.
You know, Philip Dorsett too. So they have guys that have played in the league and, you know, after Edelman, but and Gordon to an extent. But there's just no one that jumps off the page. But then again, if you have Tom Brady, you don't really need that. It seems like so. And I think they'll rely on the running game a lot this year, Matt, just because they've got James White, they've got Sony Michel, and they still have a great, you know, blocking fullback in Devlin. So I think that they can control games more, rely on their defense, and, you know, Tom won't be forced to, you know, make as many, you know, plays, at least electrifying plays that need to compete with teams versus points. They still have a very strong defense. So I think they'll be more of a running team, this year, but still, you know, if you have Brady and he drops back to pass, he's always a threat.
Always, always. I don't know what it is, but Bill Belichick, the way he has the offense running, or even, you know, his offense coordinator, it's just so well-rounded. I mean, Brady is really never in any danger. I mean, he's got
– Yeah. No, yeah, he's always well-protected for sure.
Very well-protected. You know, he'll throw a five-yard check-down pass and get 10-plus yards on it. You know what I mean? That's just how their system, their offensive scheme works. It's really impressive. But yeah, there are a lot of questions. I mean, they did lose several coordinators. I was seeing their defensive line coach, their linebackers coach is in Miami, and they also took their wide receivers coach, and let's see, is it cornerbacks coach? Yeah, they took some other they. You know, they lost some people, but as we all know, you can never count out Bill Belichick. The guy's just an absolute mastermind, and their defense was like a high point. Like, I actually enjoyed watching the Pats defense last year, which is weird to say. Usually it's about 50-50 or a little bit more offensive, but their defense was actually relatively impressive.
Yeah, their defensive backfield's really good. I mean, you got the McCourty twins back there who've seemed like they've been there for forever. And, you know, of course, they've got Stephon Gilmore. Bills fans know all about that. So, you know, their back end is really solid. And if you can defend the pass in the NFL, you know, and be able to cover, you know, you just make a team one-dimensional by running the ball, that's going to be really, really tough to score points. You might be able to get your way down the field and kick some field goals, but it seems like they really button it up once teams, you know, get into their territory. So it's definitely an imposing, you know, defensive backfield. And I think that's probably the strength of maybe their entire team in terms of positional standpoint, just that group, similar to the Bills with, you know, Hyde and Poyer back there and Tre'Davious White. So I think, you know, those two defensive backfields, you know, both those teams respectively have really good groups. So yeah, I think if, you know, the Bills really want to get over the hump this year, you know, it's going to have to be turnovers, kind of similar to what they did when they had Tyrod Taylor, being able to protect the ball and to kind of get over the hump of the Patriots, you need to first win that turnover battle. Yes. Throughout the year. And then I just think, secondly, if they have any shot of beating the Patriots this year, at least splitting, you know, both, you know, one of two games, you know, in those matchups, I just think it comes down to, can you make, you know, the Patriots one dimensional on offense? And that's usually very difficult to do because even if they're not having a good day running, they might, you know, implement a screen passing game. And
yes,
that's just kind of an extension of the running game where they can, you know, get those guys out in space like Michelle and, you know, James White. So it's definitely always an imposing challenge for Buffalo. I hate to sit here in June and predict how those games will turn out, but, you know, it's always the same kind of argument, you know, how do you beat them? And, but I do believe that the Bills have the roster that at least matches up personnel-wise in terms of talent. I think this is probably the best shot the Bills have to really, you know, make a charge at beating New England and really challenging them for the division. But, you know, if I'm still picking today and betting, I'm going to pick the Patriots to win it all in the AFC East this year.
Eps, no, I have to agree. And last week I had like 10 expectations, and one of them was to at least – you know, split the series with New England. I think it would be a good sign that the process is heading in the right direction. And I agree that this is one of the better lineups, better rosters with personnel. Like the wide receiver core, the amount of running backs. Obviously, we don't know who's going to make the final cut, but you know, some of these bigger name guys who've been to teams like Cole Beasley, like John Brown. You know, and we have Zay Jones and Foster, and there's a good core of weapons, of talent. And I think this is the year. I mean, not to sound like a homer, but I think to at least split the series with New England, which is something that Buffalo has struggled to do I think this is definitely a potential year for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said prior to this, you know, just the Bills have the personnel. I think they have the, you know, I think McDermott has the experience coaching against Belichick now after a couple of years to, you know, devise game plans that will put them in a position to win. Will they? I don't know. It's the NFL. You never know. But I think that they definitely have a puncher's chance to do well against them this year. But we'll see. I wanted to talk about the Jets. If you want to jump,
yeah, let's do the Jets next.
Jump to talk about those guys because they're kind of hilarious with their offseason. Seemed very disorganized. They did hire Joe Douglas away from the Eagles to be their GM and is a good buddy of Adam Gase. So that was interesting how, you know, the timing of the firing, you know, McCagnan and their GM prior. I think that was just a very bizarre offseason thus far for a team that's, you know, looking to kind of be where the Bills are and build off a rookie quarterback from last year.
Right. Yeah, it was very awkward because they let him go through the draft. They let him, you know, scoop up Le'Veon Bell, which there were reports that Gase didn't even want him. I don't know how true they were. But, yeah, they let him get all that, and they kind of canned him, which is weird. But I guess didn't Buffalo do that a couple years ago with Doug Whaley? Like, let him go through the draft? And
they did. Yeah, they did do that. I think the difference with this is the Bills did this similarly, but they were so adamant about keeping everything together. And I think it was just more of a shock with the Jets. I think the Bills kind of all knew that they were going to head in a different direction because they had hired, they had hired McDermott prior. So I think, I just think it was like a bigger shock. And plus the New York media is going to blow that up. It definitely got a little bit more attention than it would have in Buffalo, but it doesn't matter either way who the GM is. I still think Adam Gase and Jets, you know, writers are saying that it's definitely Adam Gase's team. Like, no matter who's in that seat, it doesn't matter because Gase is kind of steering that whole car down there.
Which I think is a good move on their part. Obviously, they've been in kind of limbo for the last couple of years, not really knowing what direction the team is going in. And I think Gase has a relative, if you give him the reins a little bit, I feel like he can be a guy that can put your team in the right direction. But with that said, obviously the biggest acquisition this year was Le'Veon Bell for them.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't – they have a couple other, you know, potential guys. I think they still have Robbie Anderson and some amongst Robbie others. Anderson. Anderson.
They have Anunma, you know, Jamison Crowder is coming over too from the Redskins. And, you know, Bilal Powell is still pretty, you know, productive. And then they also signed Ty Montgomery – remember he was with the Packers and was kind of wearing a like 88, but playing a running back, which was always interesting to watch on television. Chris Herndon's a very good young tight end coming into his second year. And he had some nice plays last year for them. And I think they're really high on his potential. So they definitely have enough, I think, offensive weapons to help Sam Darnold out. And of course they have former Bills head coach Greg Williams now running the defense. So those matchups are going to be fun. Of course, the Bills, I believe, open with the Jets too, right? So
I think you're right, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be, right off the bat, such an important game, you know? I mean, division game, and it's the opener. So that game could very well turn the tide from you being 10-6 to 9-7 and making the playoffs, right? So huge game, first game of the year, and you know, we'll obviously have to wait to see how the whole season turns out, but I could see the opener just being a huge, huge game in terms of the standings. And I think the Jets are very much on par with Buffalo in terms of who they think they have at quarterback. I know that they publicly just love Sam Darnold, think he's improving, think he's learning so much from last year. Definitely against the Bills, show that he had the arm and capability to make great throws. So they'll be definitely a tough out. I don't think it's going to be like a Matt Barkley, route game last year. I think the Jets are going to come to play, but it's interesting to see how much will they self implode if, you know, Greg Williams is pretty hot headed sometimes, and Adam Gase is seemingly not the, you know, some people think he's a great head coach, but hasn't really proven that yet. So I would be skeptical, but I, you know, would like to maybe give him the benefit of the doubt to see how he does. He always says the right things and sounds good, but of course they drafted Quinnen Williams, who the Bills liked. So a defensive lineman like Buffalo drafting Ed Oliver, there's just so many similarities with these two teams. And I think that, you know, their records will probably reflect that too.
I think so too. They do feel very, you know, parallel in the rebuilds and, you know, building around their quarterback. That's always the most important thing. I do like Darnold as a quarterback, and I think he can turn out to, you know, be really good someday.
I will say this though. I think their cornerback situation, where he was talking about the Bills and the Patriots having good defensive backs, you know, aside from, you know, their safety there, Jamal Adams, they really don't really have anyone that you would think could stop anybody. I mean, Tremaine Johnson signed a huge deal last year and was suspended. They've got Perry Nicholson, Derek Jones. Like, these guys are not necessarily household names.
No,
not to say that, you know, they can bounce back or they figure out their cornerback situation, but they don't have a defensive backfield where you are scared to throw against them. And so that's where I think the Bills and just other teams can really take advantage of the Jets. Like, if I'm going up against the Jets, I'm trying to attack their secondary for sure.
Oh, all day. I absolutely agree. Yeah, the Jets are in a weird spot. We're like, but similar to Bills, definite rebuild. I mean, I could see them being a 500 team this year if everything, you know, progresses the way that that they truly believe. But I mean, if I was the Jets, I don't want to be too one dimensional. You obviously know that Le'Veon Bell is gonna want, I'm not gonna say ball hog, but he's gonna want the targets, gonna want the usage of him, and I wonder if he's going to make that big of a difference. You know, all the hype coming in, taking a year off and bettering himself as a human being, and, you know, is it going to be as beneficial as everybody thinks? I think that's a big question.
Yeah, for sure. Any other kind of just thoughts? I'm interested to see how Bell does there behind that offensive line that is still, I think, kind of retooling itself, you know? So I'm interested to see just how well he can perform behind the Jets offensive line, because the Steelers definitely have the edge there when it comes to, you know, talent and just the, I think the Steelers offensive line was much better. So it'll be interesting to see how they do.
I have to agree. Yeah. We'll see if he can, you know, if he can go make plays, if it was, you know, really the offensive line making him look good, or if it was, you know, really him being as good as everybody thinks. But yeah, I think that's it for the Jets. Now we'll go to Miami. Mm-hmm. Miami, oh boy, they're in a weird place. They actually feel like the Jets did a couple of years ago when they signed McCowan to start. But I feel like their team's in a little bit better position than the Jets were back then. Personally, I like Kenyon Drake. I like their, you know, some of their defensive players. I like, they got Devontae Parker still, and you know, that there's a very relatively good supporting cast around them.
Yeah, for sure. I like kind of the direction Miami's going. I think they realize they need a clean slate. Always been a big fan of Fitzpatrick. If you need a quarterback to kind of hold the fort before you find your quote unquote franchise guy, whether that, you know, comes in the draft next year, or, you know, they obviously traded with Arizona for, for Rosen. I mean, like, will he pan out? It seems like, you know, early indications are he's still struggling a little bit. So, but I think for them, they're in this kind of transition phase of getting younger. Also, you know, trying to just set their own culture there. They have a new head coach as well from New England. So it's one of those things where they moved on from Ryan Tannehill, which probably, you know, I'm upset as a Bills fan that they did that, because I liked Ryan Tannehill being the starting quarterback in the division. I did not think he was going to take them anywhere. And so I think Miami smartened up a little bit and decided to, you know, actually try to draft a passer. who could lead them into the future. I do like Drake as well. I think he's really electrifying. Also, their defense is a little suspect in areas. Their defensive backs are okay. I think they have a couple of guys that are doing well, but not a huge fan of Alonzo, obviously. And
right,
the linebacking core there is a little below average, I should say. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, and that offensive line too. That's always been difficult for them, trying to retool that. And it's funny that they signed former Bills Jordan Mills, who I think is also really struggling. I saw a couple tweets about that. So it'll be interesting to see though with Miami, because like I said, right to start off the top, just because, they might not on paper look that great, they're going to come out and compete and kind of feel that underdog role. I kind of feel like that's how Buffalo's been viewed like last year, and they came out and won 7 games. And I don't see the Dolphins winning like 2 or 3 games. I definitely see them as like, between 6, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins, somewhere in there. So I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. I don't think they're playoff bound either.
No, I think they're going to definitely, the potential to play spoiler for a lot of teams too.
Right.
I think a lot of fans are not giving them enough credit. I really think that because they do. I mean, they see Fitzpatrick under center, which another, like you said, I'm a big Fitzpatrick fan. You don't stay around in the league for as long as he has. If you're god awful, he's useful. He's very useful. And starting games, he'll get you. I mean, he'll get you 5 to 6 wins, as a QB. Will Rosen be starting by the end of the season? He just might. I'm sure they're going to do like a 50-50 thing by the end of the year, kind of like what Tampa Bay did with Fitzpatrick and Winston. But I definitely see Rosen getting a chance to start. I don't dislike him as a player either. I just haven't seen enough from him yet. He's Arizona didn't really have a great supporting cast last year, aside from David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald, and if he does end up taking that starting role by the end of the season, I think he has some better weapons to work with on the offense, just a little bit.
Yeah,
obviously no one's going to top Larry Fitzgerald, but you do have a little bit wider spread of talented guys.
Yeah, you've got Mike Gesicki there. I think he's going to be a decent athletic tight end. I think they're expecting a lot more from him. They did also go out and signed, another tight end in Dwayne Allen. So, I think they have a couple of, good guys in that tight end room to kind of help Fitz or whoever's quarterbacking. But I do think by the end of the year, you're going to see Josh Rosen in there, just because they're going to want to see what they have there. And if he turns out great and he's looking like he could potentially be their quarterback of the future, then that really helps them in the draft next year to say, okay, we can maybe bypass a quarterback, but maybe not, just depending how he does. But I think they're going to want to get more of an evaluation of him, and kind of what you said, just you don't really see a whole lot when he starts for the Arizona Cardinals, the handful of times he did last season. So, but I do like Gesicki as an offensive threat. I do like Drake. I think they have a couple of good, a couple of good receivers that are serviceable there. But again, no one that I'm kind of looking at them and really having the game plan around from a offensive weapon standpoint. Like, they don't have kind of an all pro, really all star type of cast surrounding their team, and that could hurt them. It definitely in like pivotal spots where, there's 2 minutes or less in the game and you need to throw it to somebody who can go up and make a play for you. Like, I don't know who that is yet for them.
Yeah, I agree. That miracle in Miami that happened last year, that's not going to happen all the time. Of course. Sure. So you gotta have a really true standout wide receiver one that can be talked about in the same breath as some of the other wide receiver ones. That goes, such a long way. We've seen that issue here in Buffalo.
Kenny Stills is okay.
Oh, Stills,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely, you know, good players. I think they still have DeMonte Parker there. So, like I said, they're definitely like guys that you would want, you know, on your team. I just don't know, like, is it just a committee, wide receiver committee there? Because I don't know who I would rely on. You know, there's no one like a Mike Evans or, you know, somebody like just like a true number one. And
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like that'd be difficult to for Ryan or Josh, whoever's quarterback in that team to go to. And they're just not like threatening, you know, they're going to have to dink and dunk their way. And I just don't know if that's going to translate to a lot of wins.
I can agree. I can agree. All right. So, I mean, we can compare and contrast off seasons if you really want. Kind of ranking them from worst to first. I mean, to you, who do you think has had the, out of the AFC East, who has had the worst the off season?
Well, I probably have to go. I mean, just from the lack of moves, I'll put Miami there just because they didn't do a ton as compared to the rest. I still think that, you know, bringing in Dwayne Allen, you know, kind of bringing in Fitzpatrick to kind of steady the ship were under the radar good moves for them. But in terms of, you know, when I'm comparing them to the other teams, I think their draft was okay. But yeah, I would put Miami probably at four. Three, I'd probably put New England just kind of the same reason. Volume didn't add a ton in terms of free agency and stuff like that. But they did add a couple of guys who will make a difference because they don't need a whole lot of additions to that team.
Right.
But just in terms of, like, you know, monumental changes that could really make the difference, I put them there. And then I kind of have the Jets and the Bills kind of evened at that point. I think both had phenomenal drafts. I think both, you know, got key players in free agency. You know, Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets was huge. I think, you know, the Bills getting their wideouts that they did is going to be huge. So I kind of have the Jets and the Bills as kind of a tie for first. And not to kind of cop out there, pick one over the other, but to me, it is kind of difficult to separate those two teams.
I absolutely agree with you, like top to bottom of that ranking. I mean, yes, Miami didn't have a lot of draft capital to begin with. They only had, I think, five picks going into the draft, and they ended up with a couple, you know, additional ones. They traded away some picks, but I think they did the best that they could do with the situation that they were in. Albeit they're still in fourth. New England, yes, definitely I can see as three. I feel like they lost more than they gained in this past off season between personnel and some of the, you know, the offensive pieces that they've been very heavily dependent on. I mean, Chris Hogan excelled in New England relatively well, and I think he's in Carolina now. And yes, definitely the Jets and Buffalo top two, which is, you know, it's cool to see. And hopefully it does translate to some big battles. Maybe, you know, the two of them, coming down to the two of them for a wild card spot or, I mean, I don't think AFC East, you know, division champions just yet, but, you know, for them to battle for them to be fighting for something at least instead of, you know, last place, which is unfortunately been what we've seen here in Buffalo the last, well, since the drought, really. It's, yeah, been a bunch of battles for last place. So I think the future is bright for those two teams, and it's going to be cool to see how they translate. Jets, and I'm friends with a lot of Jets fans, and a lot of them, they don't have a whole lot of faith just yet in their team, but maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic than they are.
Yeah, I, you know, just looking over their draft class again, it doesn't jump out at you as, you know, grade-wise and who they've added, aside from obviously their top pick, Quinton Williams, going to make a huge impact for them. You know, some of the guys on there were okay, but they definitely went out and spent, right, because they had so much money in free agency, and that's really where they flipped their roster over with the addition of Bell and the like. So, yeah, I'm hoping that the division this year is kind of a bunched win-loss record. You know, I'm hoping like the winner is 10-6 and then you have like 2-9-7 teams. You know, I'm kind of imagining I'm imagining it a lot closer and clumped. You're not going to have New England at 14-2 and, you know, Buffalo and the Jets at like around 8-8, 9-7 and then someone, you know, at 2-14. I think I think everyone's going to be very much bunched together, which should make it you know, a lot more competitive and exciting as we get closer to the end of the year.
It definitely should. It definitely should. I mean, just, you know, aside from this, I am actually relatively excited, at least for the Bills schedule. I don't, because I mean, Josh Allen is going to be going up against the other four top quarterbacks from last year's draft. And two of them are obviously conference, you know, like we said, we expect Rosen to at least be starting one of those games by the end of the season. Right. And there's just a lot. There's a lot to look forward to. You know, we'll actually get to see Josh Allen, you know, and statistically, you know, go up against these guys like Baker Mayfield, like Lamar Jackson, Darnold, and hopefully Rosen by the end of the season. I think it's going to be a good test to see, you know, to actually get a close up, put them under the microscope, look at it, how Josh Allen is progressing amongst his fellow draft classmates.
Yeah, and then even younger guys too, like he'll go up against Wentz and the Eagles. He'll also go up against, you know, the Cowboys. And so, you know, having those games too, to compare him against Dak and to compare him against Wentz. And in addition to, you know, all these, and I think they go up against the Ravens again this year, which I think they play the Ravens almost every year, it seems like.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm sure Lamar Jackson will – have a role there. So yeah, he's going to go up against a lot of guys we can compare him to, you know, mano y mano, if you will, this year. And so I'm looking forward to that, in addition to all of these divisional opponents.
So definitely a lot to look forward to. Jeremy, my man, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Thanks for doing a tour around the AFC East with me.
It was good time. Well, I'd like to get together with you in a couple weeks. Maybe we can do that that 53-man roster pick.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Kind of take a look at the whole scheme of things. And they have 90 guys, of course, signed now, and a lot of guys we'd have to cut off that list. But we can do a pre-camp preview.
I think so. So Bills Wire podcast listeners, definitely look out for that episode coming up. And on behalf of Jeremy and I, thank you so much for your time. And until next time, go Bills.